Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. We'll read the first six verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church, for this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. Lord, we've laughed together. We've sung together. We've read your word aloud together. But now the focal point of everything, the preaching of the word of God, what can change our lives. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives by it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I struggled putting a title to this morning's sermon. I almost entitled it, How to Be a Nothing. How to Be a Nothing. That because in our text, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, it says, And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I am nothing. I've not entitled this morning's sermon, How to Be a Nothing, though it very well describes the truth that I'm going to share. Every topic that I have ever preached is dwarfed by the importance of today's topic. Today's topic is more important than the prophecy of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And of course, we look forward to the Lord coming again. But today's topic is far more important than Jesus is coming again. Today's topic is more important than the mysterious information of the Bible. Things like God, a triune being. In other words, the Trinity of God. How can God be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and three different personalities and yet one God? You say, that's mysterious to me. It is to me too. But today's topic is more important than understanding the mystery of the Trinity or the mystery of the free will of man to either accept or reject Jesus Christ. Or how in the world can God forget our sins? A God that knows everything, how can He forget our sins, though He promises He can? And you say, Brother Owens, that's a mystery to me. Indeed, it's a mystery to me as well. Now, I believe it. If God said, I can forget, if God says, I'll forget your sins, that means He did. A mystery to me, a mystery to you. But wait, more important than the mysteries of the Bible is the subject of today. Today's topic is more important. I think something's changing on me, Brett, if you'll check it all out. I feel like maybe something's not right with the PA. Today's topic is more important than anything else you've learned. It's more important than learning your ABCs. Some of you recently received a high school diploma. What I'll teach you, it's more important to learn this subject, this topic, than getting a high school diploma. There are people here, we have many, many college graduates here. You've got your Bachelor of Arts and your Bachelor of Science, and you're a associate's degree, and your PhD, and your master's degrees, and all your degrees from all your technical institutes in the world. But what I'm going to teach you today, God said, this is ultimate. You've got to learn this. You don't have to have a PhD to be right with God, but if you don't have what I'm going to teach today, you're uneducated in God's way of thinking. Today's topic is more important than faith. Today's topic is truly the greatest missing quality among people today. today's topic is the backbone of the church. Today's topic is supposed to be the backbone of our society. Today's topic is to be the backbone of a great country. It's to be the backbone of mankind who is surrendered to Godkind. Today's topic is the quality of qualities. The topic of my sermon this morning is the strength of all strengths. Today's topic, the sermon purpose today, it is the best of the best, and it is the cream of the crop. You see, if you don't have today's quality, you're weak. If you do not have today's quality, you're lonely. If you do not have today's quality, you're probably confused. You're aimless. You're self-centered. If you do not have today's quality, you're directionless. You're more than likely miserable and hopeless and poor to a degree. If you do not get what I'm teaching today, you're going to find yourself unstable in your Christian life. You're going to find yourself empty, and you may be labeled stingy. Today's quality is a quality that our world is starved for. Today's quality. This topic makes people strong. The topic of today will make your marriage strong. The topic of today will make your family strong. The topic of today will make your church strong. The topic of today will make men strong. The topic of today's sermon will make a school strong, or a country strong, or a woman strong. Hey, the topic of today is the mortar and the glue that holds together the relationships of life. The topic of today will make the uneducated educated. The topic of today will make the weak strong for the cause of Christ. Today's topic is a never-failing topic. If you can get this, if you can grasp this, if you can practice this, if you can do this, you can succeed. You say, I seem to fail at everything. Hey, if you'll do this, you will succeed. It never faileth. Hey, people strive for excellence in a lot of different areas. We strive for excellence in a lot of different areas. Why do we not strive for excellence in the most important area? You say, Brother Owens, what are you talking about? I'm talking about love. Don't show me your credentials. Show me your heart. Your credentials may impress some people, but they don't impress God. Show me your heart. Show me your love. Parents, may I advise that you train your children to love? Should we not have children growing up all across this great country who do not know how to love? Does a school you send your children to train them to love? God said this is ultimate. This is more important than prophecy. If you really study 1 Corinthians 13, you'll find out this is the ultimate topic. Hey, earn yourself a doctor's degree in love. Today's topic is love. Not the world's love, so you know. The world has perverted what love truly is. God is love. And God's teaching in love is pure love. It's true love, not what the world sees as love. You're going to find something out. The closer one gets to God, the greater their love. The further someone is away from God, the less their love. You see, God is love, and the closer you get to God, the more your capability and ability to love. And the further away from God you get, the less you're going to love. I can tell some of you why you have the problems you have in your life. You have a deficiency in love. Now, I'll tell you all, it sounds like we're going to have a little problem with our PA this morning. I want to do this right now. I want you to forget about it, and I want you to listen to the message. I'm sure the devil would like the PA system to mess up a sermon on God's love this morning, and I don't want that to happen. So you ignore it. I'll ignore it. But let's let this truth be put on a pinnacle this morning, and let's look at this subject called love. 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 You know, some truly love their immediate family. Some do. Now, it's sad to say there are some of you, you live in a household and your children don't feel loved and your husband doesn't feel loved and your wife doesn't feel loved. The people that live in your household don't even feel loved. But some truly, biblically love their immediate family. Fewer love outside their household. Fewer yet love their enemies. Let me ask you a question. It's a very personal question. Do the people in your family, in your house, do they know you love them? Or do you just exist there together? But now let me take that to another level. Does anybody outside your household truly believe that you love them? If I brought you up on this platform and stood you in front of all this congregation today, and I said, everybody here that is convinced that Joe here loves you, will you stand? And if everybody out there would be honest, how many people would stand up? Hey, member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. How many people would stand up and say, I'm sure. Hey, that man right there has proven that he loves me. I know he loves me. That woman right there, she loves me. I know that she does. It's hard enough to get people to love within the four walls of their own home, but you take it beyond that, there is a dearth of love, even in good churches. We run from love. We're almost afraid of the subject. We're afraid of the topic. Let's learn something else, but learn love? That is a challenge. Why? It is the greatest of the qualities that a Christian can possess, because it is what God is, and we so often run from the purity of what God truly is. We shy away from it. We run from it. Why? The great responsibility. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And you are to love. Hey, Christians, it is still the theme of Christianity. Love one another. Who in this church would say quickly, I know that person loves me. I know she loves me. Isn't it sad? Love. The closer to God you get, the more you'll love people. The further away from God you are. You say, well, I know a lot about the Bible. We're not talking about your education now. We're talking about the quality of love. There are all sorts of people who know all sorts of facts about this book we call the Bible. That does not make you godly. It is living the qualities that God is that makes you godly. There are people that are educated beyond their own character to perform. They know all sorts of things about the Bible and about the church. And I know about the history of the church. Hey, tell me this. Tell me about your love. Tell me about your love. Well, I'm an intelligent being. Tell me about your heart, not your brain. Your heart. Now, let me give you some of what the Bible teaches are the proofs of love in your life. 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, that word charity there means love, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, the Bible teaches that love is generous. God is the greatest giver, and He is also the greatest lover. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Well, there are people that give. There are people here. You give, but just because you give does not mean that you love. But if you love, that love will necessitate and demand that you give, because the Bible teaches we are givers, and being a giver is a sign of love. What are some of the proofs of real love in your life? True love is able to suffer. The Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity or love suffereth long. See, true love handles hurt feelings. You know something? If you really love somebody, when your feelings are hurt by them, you mend that because there's true love present. It says, charity suffereth long. True love says, I'm willing to suffer with you, I'm willing to suffer for you, and I'm even willing to suffer because of you. That's what Jesus did for us.
true love says, I will go through trials with you and for you and not give up on you because I love you. True love endures suffering and yet remains kind and sweet. And what are some of the signs of this quality that is to be exalted in the Christian life above our brain, but yet our heart, our emotion, our feeling? It's a thing called love. And a proof is love is generous. A proof is that love is willing to suffer. Thirdly, the Bible says love is truthful. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says that love or charity rejoiceth in the truth. Hey, do you love the truth? You love the Bible, that's what the ultimate truth is. The Word of God. You're not a true lover if you don't love the Word of God. But do you love the truth? Do you love to tell the truth? Liars are not lovers. Liars are not lovers. It is an expression of love when the truth is told. It is an absence of love when a lie is told. Because the Bible says love is truthful. You see, if we have love, God said that love is generous. And God said that love can suffer and is willing to suffer. And God said love is truthful. And God said love is sustaining. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says that charity beareth all things. Love does not collapse under strain. Love does not collapse under strain. So you all know, strain in a relationship is the opportunity for love to be proven. If strain did not come, you could not test the love to see if the love beareth all things. Strain proves the depth of one's love. Listen, though your difficulties and your trials in life, you say, oh, it is so heavy, the pressure that our relationship is feeling right now. Yes, that is pressure. You might look on it as a negative, but I'll tell you something. It truly is an opportunity for the depth and the strength of your love to be revealed. Because the Bible teaches that love beareth all things. Strain helps to prove the depth of love. I was thinking of a dear friend of mine, an evangelist. He used to travel the nation. He hardly ever travels anymore. His name is Dr. Tom Williams. Dr. Tom Williams and his wife Pam had gone to Israel to take a missionary trip there. While there, Pam ended up getting a strange strain of spinal meningitis. They took her to the doctors and the hospitals, and they wanted to find out what in the world could possibly be wrong. And before long, they brought her back to the States, and we find that she ended up... Let's shut the door up here if we can, as soon as we can. They ended up bringing her back to the States, and she was very, very ill. And while ill, they put her in a hospital, and before long, she began to lose control of her body, and she found herself paralyzed. And this strange strain of spinal meningitis ended up turning her into a virtual vegetable. This great man who traveled the country, this great man who was an evangelist, he was used all across the United States of America. He then found himself becoming a nursemaid to his own wife. I'm talking about he had to bathe her. She could not talk. She could not walk. She could not feed herself. He would spoon feed his wife. He would bathe his wife. But never one time was there a, thank you, Tom. She could not talk. He laid her to bed at night and covered her up. He diapered her. And changed her diaper. I got a letter from him this week. She's been like that for years and years and years. 15 to 20 years now. Letter said, Brother Owens, pray for Pam. 20 years. Pressure? Mm-hmm. Difficulty? Mm-hmm.
But I think I see some generosity somewhere there, don't you?
I think I see some suffering there, don't you? I notice a love, a sustaining love.
We think we know something about love. It is amazing how petty the love of people that call themselves Christian really is today. We don't even love God enough to come back to church during the week. We might stop by and see Him on Sunday morning every once in a while. We call that love. Hey, love is sustaining under strain. Love is trusting. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love believeth all things. In other words, love is not suspicious continuously. Those of you that are constantly suspicious, just all the time, there's a lack of love in your life. Love believeth all things. Love, and what it's telling us, love wants to trust. Love wants to trust. Well, somehow, in the fiber of this thing called love, there's a trust mechanism. Love wants to give the benefit of the doubt. Love wants to trust. Hey, love builds the confidence of its recipients. That's what love does. Love comes and says, I want to trust and I want to believe in you and I want to build you up and I want to make you strong. That's one of the qualities of love. The Bible says love is hopeful. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love hopeth all things. Are you a hope giver? Or are you a hope taker? Pessimists are not usually good lovers. Love expects the best, not the worst. You doom and gloomers, you know what's missing in your life? Love. You should want people encouraged. You should want people to have hope. You should want people to think that God's a good God. You should want that. You should want people to feel like, hey, I can make it. I can take it. That's what love is. You see, love is hopeful, and love is trusting, and love is sustaining, and love is truth-loving, and love is able to suffer, and love is generous. The Bible says love is enduring. It says it endureth all things. I looked up that word there, endureth. It means it's superabounding. It endures through time. There's always enough and some to spare. You know, listen to me, folks. It's easy to love when everything's okay. Your love is not proven when everything's hunky-dory. Love is proven when there is strain. Love is proven when it must step up and endure all things. Endureth all things. Stands up and says, hey, for your sake, I can take it. I'm here for you. You find out, hey, it's easy to love the preacher if everything's going okay down at the church. It's when things maybe don't go your way, or when things down at the church get a little bit rough, then you find out who really loves. Because love endureth. It steps up and it says, it's time for me to abound. Love endures when there's hurt. It's easy to love when all's well. Love even can endure deception. It can endure deception. Listen, there are going to be times when somebody you love is going to lie to you. They're going to deceive you. I don't think that we should approve of deception or lies, but I think we ought to love. I think we ought to love. We ought to continue to love. Listen, young people, you be honest with mom and dad. And you tell mom and dad the truth every time, every time, every time. But mom and dad, you need to learn to love even when you've been deceived. Love endureth. I was thinking about a situation that I counseled some time ago, and a wife disappointed her husband. And I heard that husband say, he said, Brother Owens, I'm disappointed. But I love her. I love her deeper than the disappointment goes. And I thought, wow, that's big time. That's big time. You see, we're talking about, God said, there's this thing called love. It's more important than prophecy. It's more important than the mysteries of God. It's more important than the second coming of Christ. What is that thing? It's love. It's love.
What about love? It's generous, and love suffers, and love is truthful, and love is sustaining, and love is trusting, and love spreads hope, and love endures when the hard times come. But you know, that's not truly my sermon today. Because the Bible does not stop there. The Bible goes on to say that there are proofs of an absence of love too. I entitled the sermon, "That's Not Love." That's not love. See, let's examine the things that show us the true status of our love. Hey, a lot of people talk about love, but just so you know, talk is cheap. You can tell somebody you love them and turn right around and behave in a way that you don't, so your words were empty. You know, the easiest part of love is to say, "I love you." That's the easiest part. Now, if you don't even do that, you're not even in kindergarten yet. The easiest part about love is saying, "I love you." Anybody can do that. It's living the words. It's living it. Your life and your actions prove whether you love or not. For instance, the Bible goes on in 1 Corinthians 13:4, and it says, "Love envieth not." Envy is not love. True love does not envy somebody else's successes. You listen to me. The person you're jealous of is somebody you don't love. I can tell you right now of a situation in this church where there is someone that is jealous to death over another someone, and I want to tell you what your problem is. You don't love. Why would you envy someone you loved? Your problem is you don't love. Listen, let me tell you something. I have friends across the country that pastor churches. I love them. You say, "Brother Owens, there are some friends of yours out there that are, hey, their churches seem maybe more successful than yours or doing more than yours." That's okay. I'm glad. I'm happy for them. I don't want their church. I don't want anything that they have. I'm happy for them. But I'll tell you, when you can see an absence of love in your life, it's when you start envying and coveting something that somebody else has, because if you loved them, you'd be happy for them. And you say, "I am so sincerely glad for you." You say, "Well, I'm offended. Somebody got something I wanted." I'll tell you what you do. I'm going to tell you how to fix it. Love them. Love them. Because the Bible says that love does not envy. You know, if you loved, you would not be jealous like that. That's not love. It's not love to envy and covet something of another. Hey, being boastful is not love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says that charity vaunteth not itself. True love is not a show-off. True love prefers that God get the credit. True love would be glad for somebody else to get credit. True love really doesn't matter. Hey, true love does not care who gets credit. True love just wants good things for the people who are around it. That's what true love is. True love does not boast of itself. True love vaunteth not itself. You listen, you find somebody that truly loves. They're not walking around saying, "Give me credit, give me credit, give me credit, give me credit." True love says, "I just want to get something done. I want the people around me to be happy and successful and to enjoy it." If you walk around and you got hurt feelings all the time because you don't think you're getting the attention you deserve, you got an absence of love in your life. Because if you love you, it wouldn't matter to you how much attention you got. You'd just be glad that everybody's getting what they needed. Hey, when somebody else got the promotion you wanted, you say, "I'm glad for them. I am so glad for them." Hey, it's not all about you. True love is all about everybody else. Truly all about everybody else. Hey, what are some proofs of the absence of love? The absence of love is envy and jealousy, and the absence of love is boastful and vaunting not thyself. Hey, true love, conceit is not love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, is not puffed up. Like I said, true love cares for others more than yourself. Do you prefer others above yourself? If you do, that's not love. That's not love, that jealousy. That's not love. That's not love, that boastfulness. That's not love. Hey, that's not love, that conceit. That's not love. Hey, rudeness is not love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, doth not behave itself unseemly. True love does not behave itself unseemly. Whole bunch of marriages in here need a big old dose of love. What are you talking about? Stop being rude to each other. You need to stop your yelling and your screaming and your rudeness. You say, what's missing in my life, Brother Owens? Love. That's what's missing. True love is not offensive. True love doesn't say, well, I don't care what anybody thinks. True love isn't that way. True love says, I do care. I do care. Doesn't mean that true love can't stand for the truth. I'm going to tell you what your part of your problem is with your anger. Lack of love. Your temper. There's a lack of love. You need love. Love is courteous. I've had the privilege of being around some of the greatest preachers from the last 50 years. They may be bold, and they may be tigers in the pulpit. But I've been around the men that stand and thunder aloud and preach hard and stand for the truth. I've been around them also to watch the depth of their love. They are gentlemen. They are kind. They are generous. And they are soft with people. I've seen it. I've seen it up close. I've watched them thunder in the pulpit and sweat and spit and snort and preach hard the truth of God. Hey, why? Because of their love for their God. But with people, I've watched them. I've watched them. Rudeness is not love. True love does not want to hurt. I promise you, you ask the men on my staff, there are decisions that I must make as the leader of this local New Testament church. Sometimes the decisions are, I might have to shift somebody or move somebody out of a position because they're not behaving themselves or living right. There are times when I must discipline something, but they'll tell you, they hear me say this over and over again, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt them. I got to be careful. I don't want to hurt them. I want to be gentle here. I can't do it this week. I'm hoping they're going to become strong enough so I can make this little move without hurting them. Why? Because love is not rude. Some of you listen to me. You talk rudely to the people in your family. You got a lack of love. Oh, my man! No, you have a lack of love. You get around the church property and you're rude or unkind with people. Your problem is you got a lack of love. And I know that's not very popular. But if you love truth, you'll say, yeah, it's not popular, but it's true. It's a lack of love. Rudeness is not love. Hey, selfishness is not love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, seeketh not her own. Love sacrifices for the sake of the object. Love is selfless. That's not love, that selfishness. That's not love, that rudeness. That's not love, that conceit. That's not love, that boasting of oneself. That's not love. Hey, you don't love if you're jealous. You don't love. That's not love. Hey, being unpredictable and irritable all the time is not love. Say, why do you say 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that says that charity is not easily provoked? What that means? Love is steady. Love is in control for the sake of the object. Fellas, I'll tell you something. Guys that work for me, if I love you, you're going to be able to predict my steadiness because that's what you need. You don't need me up one minute and down the next minute and be unpredictable and afraid to come and get help. You need the predictability of a leader that says, if I go see him, it's okay. If I need something, it's okay. Even when I do something stupid, it's okay. He's predictable. There's something missing in a bunch of your homes. One minute, you're on top. The next minute, you're on bottom. Say, why are families falling apart across the country? Because people are so unpredictable. They're so unstable. I mean, does somebody say, well, let's find out what kind of mood she's in today. Watch out. He didn't want those moods again. There's a lack of love somewhere there. Because the Bible says it is not easily provoked. Real love is not easily provoked. In other words, real love has a certain control to it. Why? That is because true love wants to provide stability for everything around it. That's what true love is. True love is not touchy all the time. True love is not unpredictable. It's not love to be like that. The people around you need to know that you are predictable. They need to know, they need to know that you are going to have an element of patience and hope and kindness and generosity. All the things that love is, that's what you and I are supposed to be. The Bible says that love is not evil thinking. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love thinketh no evil. Now sin is what we do that hurts us. Evil is different than sin. Evil is when we participate in things that hurt others. Say, what's that? That's gossip. That's criticisms. That's negative talk. When we participate in evil, we're showing that we really don't have a depth of love. Because if we love, we wouldn't want to hurt the people we were talking about. You know something? Even all the way to the point, you say, well, Brother Owens, what I said about somebody is true about them. Okay. Did you help them by saying it? Well, I know what she did, and I know it's true, and this is not a lie. Okay. Did you help her by telling someone else her fault? No. So you don't love her. You don't go around gossiping about people you love. You want that person protected. You want that person to know that there's a haven of love and acceptance. I'm relatively honest when I preach. Isn't that true? I'll tell you why you don't like me. I'll tell you why you talk behind my back. I'll bet you don't love me. Oh, I love you, Brother Owens. Proof's in the pudding, bud. You can tell your family. Now, here's how they do it. Now, I love Brother Owens, but what you're saying is, I love Brother Owens, but I don't love Brother Owens. And let me tell you, I'm going to see if I can hurt him in your presence. You say you try to protect you? No, I'm trying to protect some sinful people that are sucked in by your lie. We don't do each other any good by going around talking bad about each other. You don't gossip about people that you love. You say, well, I love my daughter. Do you go around talk behind her back all the time? You say, well, I know. Then you probably love her. Oh, anybody talking bad about my son? You probably love him, don't you? The Bible says that love thinketh no evil. It doesn't even just say speak. We shouldn't even think it. Love. What is love? The Bible says, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. True love hates sin. I can tell you, you know, there are people that say, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, you are just so straightforward. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I will preach, thus saith the Lord. Well, I want to go to a church where there's more love. What you mean is you want to go to church where there's a coward as a preacher. Because if the preacher loves you, he'll say, adultery is sin. See, if he loves you, he'll tell you the truth. Because the Bible teaches, love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. You see, the more sin that is in your life, the less love there's going to be in your life. And true love hates sin. You say, why? You want to know why? Because true love sees what sin does to the object of its love and is devastated because of the consequences. I throw fits about mom and dad's getting along. I say, why? Because I have teenage boys come to my office and say, what's wrong with my mom and dad? I don't think they're going to live together much longer. What am I going to do, Brother Owens? You want to know why I throw a fit about drinking booze. All you have to do is go to one funeral from a mama that lost a child to a drunk driver, and you get angry at the sin of alcohol. If you truly love, you're going to hate sin. I'm tired of people making an old-time fundamentalist that hates sin out to be some sort of a mean, hateful person. It is sin that I hate. And I hate it passionately. You only caught the tears of the people that come to my office, and you went to the graveside, and you went through the divorces and the pain and the agony, and if you'd realize the pain that sin brings, you would rise up and throw a fit. That's my job. Though misunderstood, okay, fine, they misunderstood Jesus as well. You truly love, you will hate. You will hate anything that can hurt the one you love. I hate sin. I hate it. You parents, you be dead sure I'm going to keep throwing a fit about immorality. I'm going to keep throwing a fit about booze and cigarettes and the filth of bad music. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to keep on preaching it. You say, why, Brother Owens? I love you kids. I don't want to lose one of them. And I know what those things do to our kids. I know. Love. Love. I don't care what kind of degree you have and from where. I don't want to see your head. You've been in the world too long. You think your head makes you superior. Your head doesn't make you superior. What the Bible says? It's your heart that proves a superiority in life. It's the heart. It's the heart. Love. The topic that's more important than the other topics, according to 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.